Okay, welcome Horse Geeks to the Horse Geeks podcast, where, I'm sorry, I'm reading this time because it's all new. Welcome to the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riders from the inside out. I am Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer for Wexford Training and developer of the program Training for Optimal Balance. And with me today, as always, is the lovely Debbie Romero, who is an orthopedic massage therapist, Alexander Technique instructor, and the founder of Optimal Posture. Deb and I have been friends a long time, and these podcasts are basically looking at sort of operating systems, dynamics, what's going on under the surface for horses and riders. And today's topic is talking about, more specifically, what do we mean by optimal? Deb and I both use that in our working titles, so to speak. So what does optimal really mean? And Deb's going to explain what she means by posture, or optimal posture, which is the name of her business. And I'll talk a bit about balance, although all three of these things are very interwoven. So we'll both talk about them. But so the topic is optimal, posture, and balance, what it means. And before we get into it, I have to make a quick announcement because I am a total bonehead. A few months ago, when my computer crashed, which has never happened to me before, I think it was mid-April or early April, I accidentally set up a second YouTube channel under my name, and I posted a bunch of videos there. And I just posted today an announcement for all the people who have subscribed in the past couple of months that the YouTube channel, capital K Kirsten, capital N Nelson, is not the actual channel that will be hosting all of these Horse Geeks podcasts. The channel you want to make sure you subscribe to, if you want to keep following these podcasts, is lowercase, all one word, Kirsten Nelson, which is KirstenNelsen.
Got it.
And I have a bunch of stuff there under the heading Horse Geeks. We not only have the Horse Geeks podcast, and that's where all of the new videos will be loaded. I also have under Horse Geeks private lessons that different clients are allowing me to share. Private lessons that we've done on Zoom that are actual lessons. And so those are there as well. And on Deb's channel, Deb, your channel on YouTube is?
Optimal Posture.
Optimal Posture. So she will have a playlist there for the Horse Geeks podcast also. Okay, so all of that out of the way, hopefully people want to subscribe to this, and hopefully I now have it cleared up and straightened out before we got too many subscribers on the wrong channel. Okay, so Deb, let's start with, why don't you talk about either optimal or posture and why that's important to you as a business name?
Yeah, optimal to me means the best or most favorable at that time. So it's never always possibly the same place, but with the knowledge you have at that time to use your body to the best biomechanical advantage possible.
So it's not a static thing.
Not really. It's always optimizing, always seeking more. It's not necessarily better, but asking those questions, is there something different I need to be doing? Really looking internally, and as an Alexander teacher, using hands-on allows me to connect and find out, well, what is going on the inside? When we're just watching a rider, that gives us some information, but it doesn't tell us what's going on physiologically underneath and how that individual is using the inside of their system to do what we're trying to achieve.
So when you say that, like, I find that really fascinating that you said the best use at the time. Mm-hmm. So it's very context or task specific, what would be the best, most optimal use? And you're referring to sort of the mechanics of the body, the mechanical structure. And would you say that, the best use, would you call that the most efficient use? Or how would you say, why would you say it's the best use?
Because if we are constantly seeking what's going on within ourselves, we're always finding layers of new information. Or maybe if you are seeing a professional Alexander teacher, you're finding what your habitual patterns might be, that, and we will give you as Alexander teachers new information about how to change that pattern and to organize your head, neck, back, and pelvis, your spine, in a better way for whatever activity you choose to do.
So, and I think that's what you and I have in common as professionals, is the underlying theory behind everything you do with people and I do with horses and riders is organizing the coordination of the skeleton through the central nervous system, which is
absolutely
sort of housed in the skull, the spine, protected by the pelvis. That central nervous system is really how we might find the best use at the time for what we're doing. And so what about posture? Is posture, like, you know, we all learn. Be in a good posture, Deb.
Be a good posture person. That is the more gray area, because posture is a learned event, whether it was modeling by somebody else, you suffered a trauma and you've created a new posture. And so I really work with postural maintenance and postural behavior, because our body, if I say, if you're driving and I say turn left, you have a habitual way of doing that and your body programmed that. Same as getting up, when somebody may say to a rider, sit up straight or put your heels down. Everybody has, oh, I got that. You know, oh, I get that. I know what that means. But does it really mean that in your body?
A little bit like what we talked about last time, that just the term more leg or heels down, if you actually take a living body, that could be interpreted through the nervous system in potentially probably thousands of specific ways. Mm-hmm. Like we hear the words, it goes through the nervous system. And basically what you're saying about posture is it's really a habit of movement. And so with posture, it's posture to me, the word is more fluid. But when I first heard about, you know, sit up straight, have good posture, I think everybody does this. You interpret it as a static arrangement of your body. But what you're saying, especially with optimal, which is the best use at the time, that posture is more of a fluid use of the body.
Yeah, I think most people associate posture with a static body position, and the body's not static.
Never.
And if we try to achieve a position, we're going to go into some sort of tension or stiffness. Or is this the right way? Am I doing it right? That, and that's what gets us into trouble, because that's not fluid. That's not available. No, that's a non-movable.
If you think of the sheer potentiality, maybe in millimeters of how, you know, what's the range of motion of the ankle? How is the knee involved, or the hip joint, or the bottom of the foot, or the toes, all those little joints in the feet, mm-hmm. that when you say heels down, there's a huge potential in there of how specifically some individual might do that.
Exactly.
It's interesting. And the other word that's sort of common between us, where you use, I also use the word posture a lot in training for optimal balance, because posture, especially if we think of it in terms of horses and horse movement, the word posture is rarely used in reference to horses. But the head and neck carriage, high-headed, low-headed, mm-hmm. level-headed, all of that, like those are changes, dynamic changes or spontaneous changes in the horse's posture, seeking stability at the least, and maybe best use at the best of how to go about using themselves in motion. So looking at horses' balance, the observable part is seeing changes in their posture. And just like the rider, changes in the posture, guiding towards optimal, which just simply means the best use at the time for that situation.
When you, with the information you have at that time.
Yeah. And I add a little spin on, for me, optimal, like as in training for optimal balance. For me, optimal means, like I like what you said better, that it's a transitory thing depending on what you're doing. And I always think of it as our most efficient mechanical use, creating the least amount of stress on the body, gaining the maximum amount of strength or speed or agility by sort of understanding roughly how the mechanics work. And most importantly, our consistent moving relationship to gravity. To me, finding that optimal force management of how we align our, and I think the same, the central nervous system. So primarily our central line of force, which on in our skeleton is going to be our head, spine, pelvis, and that relationship to gravity in motion is to me what is, and the more efficiently we use it, we reduce stress and strain, we maximize metabolic efficiency, athletic ability, all of that, by finding what is most optimal. But the relationship
to- Yeah, and then you add in the stimulus of a moving object underneath you and their gravity and our gravity, you know, it's a complicated conversation.
Yeah. And I want to bring in the word balance, because balance, when I started thinking about it, as we talked about topics for the podcast, I had a really interesting discovery about balance, the word balance that was stimulated. I think you had read a paper and you had a quote about balance that was...
Oh, I do. It's from the AlexanderTechniqueScience.com, who are the scientists I work with. They said their definition in scientific terms of balance is the behavior concerned, which I found very interesting. The behavior. That's concerned with preventing the body from toppling over.
Ah,
so due to gravity. So I thought that was very interesting.
Very interesting, because behavior could mean, it could be mentally, emotionally, or physically, right? So I go, wow, behavior, that kind of encompasses a lot. But that definition of balance is what sort of sparked me thinking about it, because when I really thought about it, I go, no wonder it's so confusing. When we use the word balance, did you realize that it can be used as a noun, a verb, an adverb, and an adjective? The very same.
Oh, wow.
I go, no wonder we're all so freaking confused.
No wonder we can't figure it out when somebody says balance the horse.
Right. Like, what does balance mean? And that definition you just shared, the behavior of not falling over. I go, that's everybody's primary understanding of balance, right? So if I use the word balance, I actually wrote down these sentences because I go, okay, how would I use it as a noun? As a noun, my balance was compromised. Mm-hmm. Now, as a verb, I balance on a horse, right? As an adverb, the horse has balanced motion. And as an adjective, a balanced horse is very easy to ride. I go, we say those things every day. So balance just got used a lot of different ways. And I go, what does that really mean? And I look at it where from teaching this and having to explain myself and try to come up with like the elevator quote of what I do has been impossible. I just don't have it.
I don't either.
Because like I go, wow, our first, I would call it a rudimentary, really basic understanding when people say balance means, I could translate that into a complete failure of stability, falling over, falling off. So a lot of riders, and I used to think this way too, if my horse isn't stumbling and falling over and can do a canter transition, we must be in balance, right? Or if I can do a half pass or a pirouette or a piaf, my horse must be in balance to do that.
And well, same for the human, you know, if people think you're walking and talking, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't need a cane or a walker.
Right. Until you get that little tweak somewhere.
Yes.
You know, and then you sometimes ignore it until the tweak gets bigger or it goes somewhere else and then you seek help. So it'd be great if people sought the help to learn to organize themselves before all those things happen.
Yes. And that is sort of leads into the second, more deeper understanding of what we call balance, would be kind of the ability to be stable and effective. So if I tie that back to posture, it's like, okay, I want good posture. We could say equals a higher level of balance, but I'm thinking in terms of a static position. So I've stabilized myself into this static position and I can get my horse to do what I want it to do, whether it's heavy on the reins or there's a lot of struggle involved, a lot of muscular energy. That's sort of what I would say is a second layer of what people consider balanced, is that they're working really hard, truly in not the most optimal way, maybe even a dysfunctional way, but they're sort of effectively getting the job done.
Yeah, they're kind of trying through tasks or maneuvers to get what they need instead of it being a relationship like a moving part system that has a relationship with itself. Yes. You think if I ride a straight line to A, I'm good.
Or if the rider can hold the appropriate fashionable position for the show, even if they're stiff and working really hard and creating stress and strain in their body, that's the layer of balance I'm talking about. That as riders, we feel the pain in our back or our thighs or our ankles or knees, but we've learned to balance to the point that we can win in the show or we can effectively direct the horse around.
I like looking at that word hold because it really even goes to holding your breath. I remember riding many jumper courses and getting done and coming out of there going, because I hadn't taken a breath the entire time. So that word hold to get what you want doesn't go with balance.
Right. But it's sort of like I'm thinking of my own journey of discovery through the meaning of these words. Because a lot of the words, as we learn more and we gain experience and we become more proficient, the very same word ends up taking on deeper meanings or a different meaning. So like the word balance, I go, first it means I'm not falling off. My horse isn't falling over, right? Then it means we're getting-
primal balance.
Exactly. Then the next layer of meaning is, well, you know, we're getting the job done. Even if my horse is having muscle spasms and needs leg wraps afterwards, or I do, I need ice, right?
I need ice and ibuprofen, please.
Right? So that's sort of the second layer of understanding. And then the third layer of understanding is why I put optimal in the title at all. Because I go, now we're getting to the heart of what you mean by posture, what I mean by balance, and why both of us have the word optimal kind of in the title of what we do. Because if we just say balance, people are like, yeah, I'm good.
You know? I can stand on one foot for a little while.
Yeah. Or I'm quite functional. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm good.
Right. But optimal, really, and that's how I rehab horses that have idiopathic lameness, is you go back and you peel off the layers of dysfunction. Even if the horse, like one of my horses that successfully showed up through pre-St. George level of dressage, but developed navicular and ring bone. That's sort of that second layer of, okay, we're getting the job done, but the dysfunction is high enough that it's creating wear and tear on the body. And so in rehabbing him, who's now sound, that I had to go back and interrupt or resist all of these ways that this horse knew how to do a half pass or any dressage maneuver you can think of. He would hurl himself into it, being very obedient, really wanting to work with the rider, very kind horse, completely dysfunctional. So how he did everything was kind of with the spine in extension instead of flexion, but he's a big, athletic, beautiful horse, so he didn't look too bad. Right. But the ultimate side effect was by not doing the same work with a more optimal or ideal or even efficient use of the spine, the repercussion was small repetitive damage on the right front hoof that led to navicular changes and the development of ring bone, which for some people is still a death sentence. I don't consider that a death sentence. I consider that a signal that we need to peel back the layers of bad habits and guide, just like you do as an Alexander technique instructor. You put your hands on people to, what do I want to say, provide information.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One of my instructors, when I was in Alexander School, we had this discussion that there is this, and I'm wondering, because we're so visual, and we get a lot of information about what's going on visually, but as soon as you put hands on, it's like, oh, that.
It's called an experiential understanding. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was a student with an Alexander technique instructor, you included as one of my instructors, that I realized in our own loop of habit and information within our own nervous system, you can't extrapolate. You need new information, right? Which is what you provided me as an Alexander instructor through your hands. There were changes I became aware of, or uses I became aware of in my own body that I never could have found without the physical information coming from trained hands.
And the main part about that, and what is so thoroughly taught in the Alexander School I went to, is that the Alexander teacher themselves has to be in good use biomechanically, because as soon as you put hands on, and I'm sure it's any body worker, you put hands on anything, you're transferring information.
Yes.
So the information, it needs to be clear. It's like if you choose to go ride and you're posturing for, I've only got this much time, and oh my gosh, I've got my grocery list and I got to go to the cleaners, and you're riding with that postural thought, the horse is like, that's too much information. I don't need to hear that right now.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people a lot. I go, when we ride, it really helped me have an understanding that when an Alexander technique instructor put hands on me, I go, there's a lot of information and none of it is verbal.
Exactly.
A lot of information. And I went, ding, 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 ding. Oh my God. Every single time I sit on a horse, I'm sending information, whether I know it or not.
Exactly.
The level of sensitivity that horses have compared to humans, they can't not hear us. Double negative, I know. But they hear everything through our bodies. They can't get away from it. And so we're transmitting information about ourselves. And I think when we, like in Training for Optimal Balance, is a program trying to guide people to understand that language and be more in control of the conversation, right? Yeah. I'm sure, I mean, my first horse that I had so many problems with probably got to the point of like, la, 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 she does not know what she's doing. And he's just like, shut me out.
I have one that says that every ride. It's like, gosh, are you ever going to get this right? Yes. And I'm like, I'm trying. I'm really trying.
You're talking nonsense, lady. I don't understand. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Or you're saying six things at the same time. Which one do I pick to listen to?
And you know, that's a real interesting conversation, because I had a friend come out who was an Alexander teacher, get on one of my horses. She used to ride, and she went, it's amazing how she just went into her riding mode and, you know, really put a hard leg on. And my mare turned around and bit her and just said, we don't do it that way at our house.
Yeah, leave it to the mares.
We don't do it that way. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Might want to use some Alexander technique while you're doing that.
Helping people with riding, like, it surprised me for a long time. And then I realized, just like horses, learning, actual physical learning of skills is entirely like experiential and contextual. And what I mean by that is, people who are very athletic, I've had professional skiers learning to ride, yoga instructors, Pilates instructors, Alexander instructors, which surprised me a lot. And what they've learned off the horse that has given them incredible athletic control of their body and very good use. If they've ever had a lesson on a horse, they get on and immediately forget everything they knew about being athletic and go into this posture that we call the right riding position.
So that's the system we've set up.
So what was interesting to me is, even for the human, which has a higher brain capacity than a horse, they couldn't make the leap. Mm-hmm. They couldn't bring what they knew from what they were doing on the ground that was incredibly good use, incredibly athletic. As soon as they sat on a horse, it just evaporated. And I was able to get it back as an instructor. I could kind of, you know, pull that back out of them. I knew it was in there. But it so fascinated me that we all do that.
Yeah, I remember when we first started working together, and I'm an old hunter jumper rider from way back, and you looked at me and said, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to undo all that.
And we're still friends.
So, And it was really, I think it was 6 months into Alexander training, I saw you and you looked at me and you said, "What are you doing? I need to know about it.
What the hell are you doing?
What the hell are you doing?"
Because before you went to the Alexander Technique School, I had similar patterns growing up as a jump rider that you had growing up as a jump rider. Both of us are what we would call not tall.
Vertically challenged.
Right. And so we both, and females. And so we had a lot of similar patterns. And when I looked at you giving you riding lessons before your Alexander Technique instruction, I went, wow, that I recognized it because it was also my pattern, but very exaggerated, very extreme. And then when you, after 6 months into this Alexander Technique school that I had never heard anything about, I looked at your body at a lesson and went, that's a huge change, huge, you know? And it's another conversation to talk about confirmation versus posture, whether it's—
Oh, we'll have to do that one.
We'll have to do that. But I went, wow, that happened quickly and dramatically. I need to know what you're learning. And like the last podcast, that's that student teacher cycle. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're both my teacher and my student, and mm-hmm. I'm your teacher for the riding and a student of the Alexander Technique. So very interesting. So again, just to anything else you want to say, I kind of made some notes. I'm just checking, but
I think one of the things you talk about, and it might help people to understand what we do, is you mentioned when we were talking before about working with the operating system. Can you share that?
I just looked
about computers.
But so funny you said that, because I'm like, oh, I'll skip that and save it for another time. But no, I started.
Well, just a short, but I think that's good. We work with operating systems.
Yes, and this is, it's easy for people to understand. I use car analogies, boating analogies, mm-hmm. and these kind of tech analogies. And that's where Horse Geeks came from. What we're really doing is, if you look at a horse and rider from kind of a mechanical perspective, where we're talking about optimal posture and optimal balance, is based on the mechanical coordination of the body, mm-hmm. right? So it's a moving, fluid thing when we talk about balance and posture. And I go, you know, people couldn't understand why I was teaching riding or training horses so differently. And I go, because I'm taking an internal perspective. I look at what I do with the mechanics, or what you do with people, is hacking into the operating system, mm-hmm. just like your computer. There's a platform and an operating system. And then what people want to do with their horse, trail riding, hunter, jumper, reining, working cows, dressage, Western pleasure. I go, all of that, I put in the category of software. I go, software is what you're running, but your operating system, most people are trying to run software or go to the show with a very glitchy, outdated, not updated operating system. And so what you do with people and what I do with horses or riders, when we talk about optimal posture, optimal balance, is go in there and upgrade the operating system, update it. And people can kind of understand that, because I don't work on the same computer I worked on 10 years ago. It's no longer functional.
Were computers here 50 years ago? Because...
Actually, my dad was a true techie, and we had a personal computer when I was in high school long ago, which was a big deal, and a dot matrix printer. And it's like, yeah, we don't use those dot matrix printers anymore, but people are still trying to train a horse like it's a dot matrix printer or DOS instead of Windows, right? It's like, we don't have to do that anymore. We've upgraded the operating system. And so when we look at, when you and I read research papers or learn, like our mutual focus is on this operating system. And primarily the, I don't know what you would call it in a computer, but the very heart or the root of all movement is going to be organized through the central nervous system.
And that's what we both share. That's what we both have so much in common, and we work so well together, is because I'm working with the human operating system, the central nervous system, and you're working with the horses. So this is a fantastic duo, you know, to propel people to a new level of riding.
Absolutely. And what's funny to me is some people think animals instinctually just move at their best possible movement because they're natural. And I go, no, they don't. No, but no. And then I thought, well, you know, horses get sat on and they live kind of in confinement. And so no wonder they don't naturally have their best movement, because they're not out in nature moving 25 miles a day. And then I tap into this Alexander technique and I go, people don't either.
No, they don't. Well, it goes back to, oh, it's the chair. Oh, it's the desk. Oh, it's the bridle. Oh, it's the footing. Oh,
yes. But the truth is, none of us are born knowing how to best use and upgrade our own operating systems, whether we are people or horses.
That's it.
Yeah. We learn as we go, and it's a learned skill. When we talk about optimal posture or optimal balance, and this is the last thing, we'll wrap it up. But I think the shock to people is that it is a learned skill. It's the blueprint is given to us in our DNA. Same mm-hmm. for the horse. But that doesn't mean we're building or operating according to the blueprint. We have to actually consciously learn to do that, which I think is, it still surprises people, that concept. But I go, we weren't born knowing how to swim or ride a bike or drive a car, but we all can do it. But it was a learned skill at a certain point in our life. So is optimal control or optimal use of our body.
Exactly.
Well,
they don't consider an Alexander teacher a master teacher until they've been teaching for 20 years. So I'm a beginner.
And horses, I think it's about 40 years to start getting good at it.
Yeah, so we got lots of time.
Yeah, and doing it and teaching it are two entirely different skill sets.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap it up so we don't get too carried away.
All right.
And I think we're going to start meeting weekly.
We're going to push forward with that.
Yeah, we're going to try. And just a reminder, if you subscribe to this video, it will put you on the new channel, correct hosting channel. So if you hit subscribe on this video, you will subscribe to the correct channel. If you subscribe to the last podcast, which was really only our first one, so we're catching it early, then you're on the wrong channel for the future ones. So sorry about that. All right, Deb.
All right.
I will see you later, and goodbye to all geeks.
Be kind.
Everywhere. All right, bye.
Bye.